We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can call in at 844-477-3776 or text me at 71307. Start the text, make sure with the keyword ESPN. I'm going to get to the text line here in a second before I transition over into this Cam Newton discussion, as there's reports that he might be traded out of Carolina. But first off, I want to give you our 2 o'clock word here on our $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. Looking at our word, it is team. T-E-A-M, team. Make sure to text that keyword team to 72881. That's team to 72881, team to 72881 for our $1,000 free cash dash right here on ESPN Upstate. And looking at the text line again, 71307, start the text with the keyword ESPN. I see a guy calling in. I had the conversation to start off the show about Trevor Lawrence being just somewhat a little bit disappointing when you look at just the expectations that were there for him. Maybe the expectations were a little bit out of whack for a guy who had only been a starter for 10 games and on a Clemson team that did not ask him necessarily to go out there and win games for him, for them, even though, you know, he has to play well and win games, but they were really asking him to be a complimentary piece and more of a role player back in 2018 when Clemson won the national championship going 15-0. The texter right here says the caller stated that Trevor Lawrence was not as good this year as they thought he would be, so therefore that equals he had a down year, question mark. So if your expectations aren't as high and he exceeds those, does that mean he had a terrific year? Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback in the ACC. He's not a good quarterback when pressure gets to him. And we saw on Monday night against LSU that the pressure did certainly hurt Trevor Lawrence when he was going up against LSU, and also did not help the fact that his wide receivers, like against Ohio State, were struggling to get off of the pressure and the press coverage that was applied by guys like a Jeff Okuda of Ohio State, the guys that were applied like Derek Stingley of LSU and Kristen Fulton from LSU. They had issues with that. That's certainly something that I saw, but he's not just a good quarterback in the ACC. Like, he's a great quarterback in the ACC. He's a good quarterback in college football and a great quarterback in college football. Like, I know that a lot of people look at the ACC schedule and just think that, oh, that's the only reason he's having success. No. If he's in the SEC, the Big 12, the Big 10, the Sun Belt, the Pac-12, the MAC, FCS, it doesn't matter. Like, the kid can ball, so give him credit when credit's due. That's all I'm saying. So I get it. I had the conversation. Just the thought that he was going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate, and which he kind of was, but really fell off by midseason and a finalist and then win a national championship. Those are all the things that we thought were going to happen this season. The only player who could stop him in the school we thought could stop him was Alabama and Tua Tagovailoa, and that did not happen. So that's why I just kind of say that it's somewhat of a disappointment. 844-477-3776. Julian Council here with you on ESPN Upstate. Having a conversation about Cam Newton. I talked about yesterday with the Panthers getting Joe Brady from LSU, the passing game coordinator and wide receiver coach, and also apparently Dave Aranda, the defensive coordinator there at LSU, is the leading candidate to take over the head coaching job down there at Baylor. So we're about to find out how good Coach O is at rebuilding his staff, losing his offensive wonderkin in Joe Brady, who's a 30-year-old offensive coordinator now of the Carolina Panthers, and also losing Dave Aranda, who's one of the highest-paid defensive coordinators, who potentially looks like he's going to be going to Baylor to be their next head coach after Matt Rhule left Baylor to be the Carolina Panthers head coach. We're going to learn a lot about Coach O. He'll always be able to recruit players, but will he be able to build a staff at LSU? We'll find out that very soon. But looking at the situation with Joe Brady, bring over Sean Payton's offense where you need a extremely accurate quarterback. You need a Drew Brees. You need a Joe Burrow of this past season who completed 76% of his passes to really have that kind of success, especially with all the playmakers that he hopes to build around Cam or whoever the quarterback's going to be there in Carolina. And right now, the only playmaker I see is Christian McCaffrey. And then I guess DJ Moore, on a lesser extent, who had a 1,000-yard receiving season and was really good in his second year, but still not sure. I'm not sure if he's a guy that really scares those other defenses. But my question was yesterday in the conversation I had was Joe Brady coming to Carolina a sign that Cam Newton would be in Carolina or he would not be in Carolina? And personally, I don't know if Cam's going to necessarily be the quarterback, just looking at all of the changes that have happened in terms of Luke Kuechly retiring, Greg Olsen likely to retire. This can be a rebuild. and Matt Rhule getting the contract he got, and Joe Brady now bringing over the Saints system, which might not fit Cam Newton. Ian Rappaport of NFL.com and NFL Network, one of their senior analysts and insiders, has been reporting on its Cam news all offseason, all season long. He was on CBS Sports Radio with Damian Amendola yesterday talking about whether Cam Newton will have a future in Carolina coming up this offseason and beyond.
If Cam Newton is in his prime and healthy and without a contract situation hanging over his head, he could fit in any offense. My understanding is that the Panthers will look to trade Cam Newton when he is healthy. We don't know for sure when he's going to be healthy. He had surgery with hopes of being healthy in March, so that is the goal. So I would expect him to be healthy in March, right around there, and for them to seek a trade with him regardless. Because remember, you know, if Cam Newton is on the Panthers next year, he's not going to want to go out there with no guaranteed money in a greatly undervalued deal. Because Cam Newton, when he's healthy, is worth a lot more than the $18 million he's going to be paid, right?
Yep.
So he would want a new contract, have a hard time imagining the Panthers with a completely new regime would re-up. So to me, all signs point to him being traded regardless of the offensive scheme. And I think the Panthers will, you know, will start new probably as they should.
And it doesn't really make a lot of sense when you look at it for the Carolina Panthers, now giving Matt Rhule a 7-year, $60 million deal that has incentives that could get him up to $70 million, assuming that's basically they get to the playoffs and win a Super Bowl. It doesn't make a lot of sense when you give him that kind of long contract, which clearly writing's on the wall, folks. When you see that the contract numbers and the length, that's basically the same length that Kyle Shanahan and GM John Lynch were given in San Francisco to go and turn their 49ers around. And it took them 3 years to do it. First 2 years, they were bad. They traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. He gets hurt week three last season on the road in Kansas City, and that derailed their season. Now with them healthy and with that great defensive line and that defense as a whole, 49ers are top seed in the NFC, and they're playing on Sunday at home against the Packers for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. That took 3 years to build. Those guys had massive deals too, at least in terms of length. In Carolina, Matt Rhule has a long-term deal. They've gone out there and they risked it all with Joe Brady, who was not a primary play caller of LSU this year. Maybe it was a little bit 50-50, as Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated, who came on with me yesterday, said, but still, he wasn't the primary play caller. He helped put the game plan together. He worked at New Orleans Saints for 2 years and learned under the tutelage of Sean Payton. But that doesn't mean he's ready to run an NFL offense. He was a huge name. I think it's worth the risk. I just say it's a huge risk. Does he want Cam Newton? Does Cam Newton fit this system? Ian Rappaport said that he thinks that Cam can fit any system. We saw in 2018 in the first eight games when the Panthers were 6-2 under Norv Turner in that offense that Cam had his highest completion percentage of his career and he was winning from the pocket, which you have to be able to do in a National Football League nowadays. And that's something you've always really had to do. And especially now as he has the foot surgery with the Lisfranc injury and you're going to question what his mobility might be moving forward, Cam Newton has to win from the pocket. I don't know if he fits the offense of Joe Brady. I don't know if Joe Brady wants him. And also, it looks like for David Tepper, the owner of Carolina Panthers, bringing in Rhule, getting rid of Rivera, Luke Kuechly retiring randomly on Tuesday night, Greg Olsen likely not wanting to be a part of rebuild. It seems like all those franchise cornerstones that we've seen the last 8-9 years in Carolina, those guys are out the door. Maybe David Tepper wants to have a new face of the franchise in the quarterback position. He already has a new face of the franchise in terms of the head coaching position with Matt Rhule. Defensively, there's going to be a new face with Luke Kuechly gone. Is it going to be Brian Burns, potentially, who had a good rookie year but was limited snap-wise down the stretch in favor of Bruce Irvin, which was interesting to me? Will it be that guy? I don't know. But there's a lot of new faces, and Cam Newton, it just seems like the writing's on the wall that this is going to be a rebuild. If it's a rebuild and Cam Newton is going on the final year of his deal and the Panthers could save $19 million against a salary cap and really create a lot of cap space for a rebuild, would it make a lot of sense for Cam as just a professional to want to be a part of that? Would it make sense for the Panthers? Because, like, if you go out there and you're playing on a rebuilt roster, how are we going to know Cam's going to be able to play well offensively with those guys around him? 844-477-3776. Julian Counts here with you on ESPN Upstate. You can call and you can text in at 71307 with the keyword ESPN. Hayden's on the line, wants to talk about who might replace Cam Newton in Charlotte for the Carolina Panthers. Hayden, good afternoon, man.
Julian, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. Yeah, for listeners out there who don't know, this man Julian scored a game-winning goal in the playoffs in his lacrosse days. It was great. Should have been there to see it. But I want to know... I want to know about your ideal scenario for if Cam is replaced. Who do you want to see get in there?
That's a tough thing. I guess I would want to see Tua. I would want to see Tua Tagovailoa. And that's the thing, too. Like, with Cam, he already has a foot. He has a shoulder. He has injury concerns. So why would you want to draft a quarterback out of college in Tua Tagovailoa, who's had two ankle surgeries the last two seasons? Now he had the hip surgery, and that's even more severe than an ankle. And he's never played an NFL snap, so you don't even know if he's going to pan out. Of all the quarterbacks I see, like, Joe Burrow is not going to happen. The Bengals are going to take him. Miami's probably going to take Tua, but maybe they are sour on him. I would think that the only quarterback of the rest with Jake Fromm and with Justin Herbert and all those other guys, the only guy I would want out of those three, and I guess you could even, I guess, Jacob Eason as well, I would want Cam. I'm sorry, I would want Tua Tagovailoa of the college quarterbacks that aren't Joe Burrow. Who would you want?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I just don't – I appreciate the phone call, Hayden. Always good to hear from you, man. Hope you're doing well. Played high school lacrosse with that guy. That's what he was bringing up there back in the day.
I didn't realize I had an athlete in the midst.
Yeah, that was our first-round matchup my senior year. We were playing against our arch-rival Charlotte Catholic. I went down there, scored a game-tying goal, and then we scored right before overtime to win that game. But the only thing I was talking to my parents about that, because someone asked me a couple days ago, just like, you know, about like just lacrosse and whatnot back in high school, which has been like 9 years from now. And I was just like, the only thing I think about is we got to the Final Four my senior year when we lost. Like, that's the only thing I think about. Like, I don't think about that goal I scored. I don't think about any of the other things that happened. I just think that we failed to get to the ultimate goal, which is just not what we're talking about right now. But I love that guy from back home called in. I think he does live in the area, which is cool. But I appreciate you calling in, Hayden. You guys can call in and chime in at 844-477-3776. Or you can text in at 71307 with the keyword ESPN. But I think the writing is on the wall with Cam Newton. Ron's gone. Luke's gone. Greg's probably gone. Cam Newton's got to be next. He's got to be next. I just don't see if you're going to bring in all these new players and all these new roles with the head coach of Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, and David Tepper spent a year and a half reworking the business side. Now he's ready to rework the football side. I just don't see Cam Newton being a part of that. I still think it would probably be the best decision in terms of just having a quarterback. I just don't think it's going to happen, because if they wanted Cam Newton, we wouldn't have been hearing from Ian Rappaport all fall long about reports that, oh, they might just ride with Kyle Allen. The same Kyle Allen who at A&M lost his job to Kyler Murray and wasn't really all that good. Then he transferred to Houston and he gets beat out by a guy named Kyle Postma, who is nowhere to be found playing football. And De'Eriq King, who's still in college and had just entered the transfer portal in the middle of the national championship game and apparently is likely to go to Arkansas. And I don't think he's even a quarterback. So that guy, who people fell in love with after the Panthers went 4-0 with him at starter to start the season because of the defense and Christian McCaffrey, not because of Kyle Allen, because the defense was getting to the quarterback and Christian McCaffrey was an MVP candidate. That's why they're winning games. I don't understand why anyone could ever have thought that guy was going to be an NFL starting quarterback and a franchise caliber guy. Come on. No, that was never going to be the case. So they got to go out there. Probably they're going to end up drafting Tua or maybe the guy out Oregon and Justin Herbert. I mean, God, please don't be Jake Fromm.
Do any of those names excite you?
None. Tank for Trevor Lawrence. If you want to get Trevor Lawrence, you can go ahead and put Will Greer or Kyle Allen back there at quarterback. I'd rather that for another season than try and build around any of the quarterbacks I just named. I like Tua. I had my concerns about him transitioning to NFL before he got injured. I think he's really good. I just don't know. And you don't know if any of these guys, even with Joe Burrow, as much as people are talking about how good great of a season he had, which he did, we don't know if that's going to translate to the NFL. We've seen plenty of Heisman Trophy winners at quarterback. Now, recently, the Heisman Trophy winners at quarterback, like Deshaun didn't win, but Lamar is going to be MVP this next upcoming season. We've seen those guys go out there and play really well. I just don't know when it comes to any of those names I just listed off there, whether it's Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, Justin Herbert, or Tua Tagovailoa. None of those names excite me. And I wonder if any of those names excite you. And if you want to chime in, 844-477-3776, we'll get to your phone calls. But on the other side, we're going to have Field Yates from ESPN. He's one of their NFL insiders and analysts. He's going to come in and talk a little bit about Carolina Panthers and what he thinks about the Matt Rhule hire, the Joe Brady hire, future of Cam, and also talk about NFL playoffs as we have Championship Sunday coming up here on Sunday afternoon in the NFL. You're listening to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Julian Council back here on ESPN Upstate. Championship Sunday in the NFL coming up on Sunday. Tennessee Titans going to Kansas City to Arrowhead Stadium, face off against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And we have Packers and 49ers also for the NFC. Want to talk to Field Yates, ESPN NFL analyst, about that and a lot of other things. But first off, Field, and hope you're doing all right, man. I want to ask you about your thoughts on the Panthers' hirings of lately with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady. First off, starting with Matt Rhule, what are your thoughts on Matt Rhule coming over from Baylor to the Carolina Panthers in the NFL, and if you think he's a guy who can transition from college to the NFL and be successful?
Yeah, certainly excited for what Matt Rhule is going to bring to the table for the Panthers. There's an unmistakable energy and palpable buzz surrounding his hiring, and listen, press conferences are worth their weight in paper, and they can certainly fade away into the oblivion if you don't win games. But Matt Rhule has found success everywhere he's gone. He certainly has a program-building mentality, and I get it. Until you do it at the NFL level, there is an element of having to prove it. That being said, it is, I think it's an exciting time right now for the Panthers. Ron Rivera was an outstanding coach and a great man. So I don't want to say that the Panthers have just, upgraded, because I don't want to discredit what Ron Rivera did for the franchise, but excited about Matt Rhule and for Joe Brady. Honestly, guys, at this point, I don't know how you could have a take other than overjoyed, right? I mean, he architected one of the greatest college football offenses we've ever seen. Young, energetic, has a good approach about him. Certainly the kind of guy that I know that whoever is a starting quarterback for the Panthers next year will be excited to work with.
I guess my only thing, and like, I'm excited for both hires. Like, I was hoping that Eric Bieniemy would be the head coach of Carolina. Of course, he's staying with Kansas City Chiefs on as their OC. But my number two guy was Matt Rhule, so I'm cool with that. Joe Brady, I'm also cool with too. I just say, for already having a first-time NFL head coach who's coming from college. Now, Matt Rhule, of course, spent 1 year on the Giants staff, but a guy who's barely spent any time in the NFL, I just think it's a massive risk to bring on a Joe Brady who was 1 year at LSU, 1 year where he wasn't necessarily the primary play caller, and also reportedly they're going to bring over the DC from Baylor and Phil Snow. Does that give you any sort of concerns that they're going to have such a college-laden coaching staff coming over to the NFL in a first-year head coach in the NFL?
Not necessarily, in part because we've seen reports, I believe it was Joe Person who covers the team for The Athletic, about how Matt Rhule is speaking with, I believe it's not just Mike McCoy, but also maybe Ben McAdoo, formerly of the Giants, and it's an established head coach to have the ear of. And it's not necessarily that you have to have a former NFL head coach in order to be successful in your inaugural seasons as a head coach yourself, but it certainly can help you out with things. And I think that a lot of the football game management stuff you can actually handle pretty well, even if you haven't been a head coach previously. But one thing I do think is worth noting is that being an NFL head coach has a lot of elements to it that no matter what your previous job was, you're not accustomed to it. How do you build your schedule? How do you decide what days you're going to be working out? What time you're going to be working out during the day? How do you decide which days you're going to do your OTAs? How do you decide when you're traveling, what time of the day you're going to leave? How do you decide who's going to get, preferential seating on the plane? Things like that, because those are the kind of small things that certainly can make a difference. And I think that Matt Rhule, having somebody who's had NFL experience alongside him, might be beneficial for conversations like that.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL analyst, joining me, Julian Kautzer, right here on ESPN Upstate, talking Carolina Panthers and their recent coaching hires. I think one of the big questions that everyone has here in the Carolinas is, how does this impact the future of Cam Newton? What do you think about that?
You know, I don't know that the Cam Newton decision is really impacted at all by the coaching hire. I think that Marty Herney, and if they do hire another personnel voice, that person has to make a decision, or that team of people has to make a decision, and that goes in conjunction with Matt Rhule and even David Tepper. Where are we right now? Are we rebuilding? Are we retooling? Are we tearing this down? I'd actually wonder if the Luke Kuechly retirement has almost as much impact on, as the Cam Newton decision. Not that quarterbacks are less important than linebackers, but mm-hmm. you know, your defense has a whole different complexion. There is a hole the size of 7 Pro Bowls in the middle of that defense now. And Shaq Thompson re-signing for the long term was certainly a productive move for the Panthers, but I don't know there's a linebacker that has had as much of an impact on his team as Luke Kuechly has over the past 8 years. Anyways, that gets you back to the point of, you need to decide, are you retooling? Are you trying to pull the Seattle Seahawks, which is, you never blow things up. You always just find ways to stay afloat. And this last year obviously was very disappointing. But with a high draft pick for the first time in what feels like a while, or at least a pick this high, the Panthers have a chance to add an immediate impact player and then have some resources in free agency. And it's clear that David Tepper's got deep pockets he's willing to dip into. So have to make some philosophical decisions about what the next steps are for the Panthers.
I guess the interesting thing to me, Field, is the fact that it's been this kind of this albatross that's been sitting there since September about what's going to happen with Cam Newton. Of course, we knew coming in this year it was going to be such a big season in terms of having 1 year left on his deal. In 2020 will be the final year of his contract. We thought that this offseason we'd be talking about whether, you know, a huge deal for Cam Newton, or, you know, I guess maybe time to move on, which is the conversation that we're having more so the latter one. Is it interesting? I mean, it's interesting to me that they haven't really come out and been one way or the other. Does that kind of make you think that maybe they're leaning towards just moving off of Cam because they haven't come out and just said, like, hey, this is our quarterback? Because if you wanted him back, why wouldn't you just make it clear, especially now with that new head coach?
Yeah, I don't think so. And I'll just say this is, I've watched each of the press conferences for the 5 new head coaches, and the only two that kind of gave their stamp of approval, or really only one, I thought the most optimistic was Mike McCarthy on Dak Prescott. Every other coach has been either partially reserved or has just skirted the question entirely about the incumbent starting quarterback, which to me is a sign, hey, you know something? Like, let's not speak of any player right now. We've got a long time to evaluate them. We got a lot of things we're going to have to work through before we can decide specifically whether or not how we're going to proceed. And if you're the Panthers, you have 2 months until the league year begins. So no matter what you think you're going to do with Cam Newton now, you could change your mind 50 times between now and March 18th, when I think the first day of free agency actually begins. So I'm actually not surprised by how, I would say, deliberate they've acted in regards to Cam so far this offseason.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL analyst, joining me, Julian Kautzer, right here on ESPN Upstate. Let's look ahead to Sunday, starting out with Chiefs, Titans for the AFC Championship. Derrick Henry has had one of the all-time playoff runs in these first two games, going to New England and going to Baltimore last Saturday night and be able to run through those defenses. And they haven't really asked a ton out of Ryan Tannehill. Just looking at the Chiefs and what they did on Sunday, you have to think that on Sunday that they're going to need more than Tannehill just completing 7 or 8 passes, right?
I think so. And, you know, I was speaking with a Kansas City radio station earlier today, and I was just talking about how, you know, one thing about the Chiefs is that not all touchdowns are created equally. And they've got some will-breaking offensive players. So someone like Tyreek Hill goes 83 yards for a touchdown. Like, that just breaks your will. So you can't just chop wood against the Chiefs and expect things to be okay, because as we learned last week, 24 points is not even close to enough to hold the Chiefs down. A 24-point lead that evaporated into thin air and became a 41-point rattled off by the Chiefs in succession. Like, it was just a remarkable turn for Kansas City. And while Derrick Henry is incredible, I do think the Titans, to your point, are going to need more from the passing game. A.J. Brown is awesome. He's amazing. He's so fun to watch. He had one catch against the Patriots, and last week a slightly busier day, but still not what we saw down the stretch. The Titans do have that in them, though. I will say that they had 30 scores this year, touchdown drives, that is, of 3 minutes or less. That was the most in the NFL. So they can get up and down when they need to.
Yeah, the second game on Sunday is the one I'm really interested in terms of, like, I just don't know which way I'm leaning right now. 49ers-Packers, of course, they met up early in the season in San Francisco, I guess Santa Clara technically, and the 49ers ran through Green Bay. And Green Bay hasn't really gotten that much respect for a team that won 13 games, then beat Seattle last Sunday. What are your thoughts on this one going into the game?
Yeah, I think the speed of the 49ers defensive line is what really stands out to me. And just watching it this past weekend when they hosted the Vikings, and I know that Minnesota, I mean, that team was just tapped in terms of energy going into that game. They had played in New Orleans on Sunday evening. They win that game, have to fly home. They have to turn back around and fly all the way out to the West Coast. Their offensive coordinator is interviewing for the Browns job. There's a lot of things going on with the Vikings, but still, the 49ers waxed them and really took care of business. 17-point victory for them. The speed of their defensive line shows up, and they've got layers and layers of depth up front. And if you don't find a way to protect Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers' offensive line has been brilliant this year, then it's really, really, really going to be I think this could be I guess it depends how you look at it, either a really quick game because it will be over early, or a really long day for the Packers because there's going to be a lot of suffering up front.
So it sounds like you're leaning Chiefs and 49ers. If that's the case, just early thoughts on if those two teams meet in the Super Bowl, what kind of matchup we'd be looking up there?
Yeah, first of all, a great one. One that has all kinds of exciting storylines to it. I'm sure we'll get plenty of people calling it the Joe Montana Super Bowl, having played almost all of his career in San Francisco before finishing up with Kansas City, of course. But to me, I feel like picking that game would be coin flippy. My early instinct is that if it happens, that the 49ers find a way. I feel like a team that's just been doing it all year and has, I don't want to say team of destiny written all over it, but some elements of that. But a matchup I'd certainly be looking forward to.
Absolutely. And that would be probably the best Super Bowl matchup we could look at, looking at the four teams that are remaining here coming up on Championship Sunday in the NFL field. Really appreciate it, man. You do a great job for ESPN, and thanks for your time today.
Appreciate you having me on. Be well and talk to you soon.
Absolutely. That's Field Yates, ESPN NFL analyst. Does a fantastic job. Follow him on Twitter, at Field Yates. Championship Sunday coming up in the NFL. Chiefs and Titans, and then Packers, 49ers. Going to break down even more of that on the other side. You listen to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate. That's right. You can go ahead and call in 844-477-3776. That is 844-GSPN, or you can text in at 71307 with the keyword ESPN. Julian Council here with you for the next 22 minutes. Going to hand it off into Mark Ryan as he's back on with Offsides from 3 to 7 after being sick the last couple of days. And also, let me give you another chance. You still have time right now to text in and get some free money with our $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. The keyword is team, T-E-A-M. That's team. Text team to keyword, the keyword team to 72881. That's team to 72881. Team to 72881. Best of luck as we give out our prize, our $1,000 free cash stash right here on ESPN Upstate. I was just talking to Field Yates of ESPN NFL analyst there about Championship Sunday in the NFL coming up with the Chiefs and the Titans on Sunday, then followed by the Packers and the 49ers. And Chiefs-Titans just feels pretty simple to me. When you look at what Kansas City did on Sunday, and it's still something I can't get over, they were down 24 points to the Houston Texans, led by Deshaun Watson, one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. Of course, a ton of people around here still love Deshaun for what he did, winning a national championship at Clemson, and just the type of guy he is. To come back from that deficit at home in Arrowhead makes me think that the Tennessee Titans got to put up a hell of a lot more points than what they put up the last 2 weeks against Indianapolis. Or sorry, not Indianapolis, against New England and against Baltimore. They want to have any chance at looking at the Super Bowl in Miami. Patrick Mahomes spoke earlier this week about in the playoffs you have to handle adversity.
The biggest thing is just dealing with adversity. When you're playing in these type of football games, not everything's going to be great. You're not going to get everything the exact way you want it, but you have to find a way to win, find a way to fight. And I felt like this last game definitely prepared us with being down 24-0 of just finding a way to come out on top in the end.
Yeah, and they certainly felt that adversity. They're going to field again. Chris Jones, their star defensive lineman, was out of the game last week. He was out of practice again today, and he has been out throughout the week. Question to see if he practices tomorrow. If he does not play on Sunday, that's going to be tough because the Chiefs had the 29th-ranked run defense in the NFL. Of course, Derrick Henry has been the catalyst to everything that the Titans have done, and that is one of the advantages that they have. One of the advantages that the Chiefs have is having Andy Reid, who's been in this situation multiple times, not only with the Chiefs last season, but also with the Philadelphia Eagles, having even taken the Eagles to a Super Bowl where they lost multiple times. Here was Andy Reid talking about what you learn about being in championship weekend.
I have done a few of these, and we try to keep it as normal as we possibly can as far as the schedule goes for the players, so they can get their work done and stay within the routine of how they get themselves prepared. Likewise with the coaches, the best you can without having to travel up to do press conferences and that. So I try to stick to that, but I've done that majority of the time. I understand. I've been there. I understand how fast the game is. I mean, I can tell you that from experience, and the magnitude of it obviously is every time you take a step up in the playoffs, it's obviously still single elimination, but the magnitude's bigger, I guess you'd say.
I don't have really anything invested in this game. I lived in Nashville, Tennessee for 2 years. I covered the Titans for ESPN 102.5, the game there. So I would love to see Tennessee go to the Super Bowl. It'd be a great story for the sixth seed, a team that went 9-7 under Mike Vrabel. He goes to New England. He formerly won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots before getting traded to Kansas City, and here he is back in Arrowhead at the helm. But they took down the Patriots, seemingly taking down the dynasty as Tom Brady's future in New England and in the National Football League as a whole hangs in the balance here in this offseason as he goes into the offseason for the first time in 20 years as a free agent. Then they go to Baltimore last week. Lamar Jackson, former Heisman Trophy winner, looking like he's going to be the MVP at NFL Honors, which will be announced tonight before the Super Bowl down to Miami. They go down there and they stymie Lamar. Lamar still had a huge game of 500 total yards, but still, him throwing the ball 59 times, that's exactly how he beat Lamar Jackson. He's still a good enough passer in the NFL. It's something that he has to work on, but you beat the Ravens by making Lamar Jackson throw it close to 60 times a game. You beat really any team when you force them to throw that many times. And they went out there and they did that, taking down the top team in the NFL after Baltimore had won 12 straight games and won 14 games throughout the season. So to have that kind of story would be really cool. But I'd love to see Pat Mahomes, after he had an MVP season last year, finally get to the Super Bowl. And the Titans are going to get to the Super Bowl. It's going to be because of Derrick Henry and what he's done. Mike Vrabel spoke earlier this week about they're not going to change their game plan. It's too late to change things up. And they'll stick with going to Henry time after time.
I think the biggest thing is that we can't change what we've done to get us in this position to have this opportunity. And on October 14th, we were 2-4. I was a bad coach, and this was a bad team. And we tried to believe in each other. We tried to improve, tried to prepare, trust each other, execute, and that's what's gotten us here. So we can't change and start to make things up now.
Yeah, October 14th, but they played, in Carolina. It was one of the last times the Carolina Panthers won a football game. I think it was the last time the Carolina Panthers won a football game, and now the Tennessee Titans see themselves one win away from going to the Super Bowl in Miami. They can get past Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs there in Arrowhead. Also going on Sunday evening, the 49ers and Packers down in Santa Clara, technically, as San Francisco 49ers and Packers meet up. And all the pressure seems to be on the 49ers. They're the top seed in the NFC. They've had a great season. They built upon this after 2 years of not being very good, with Kyle Shanahan at the helm and with John Lynch as the GM. But finally, the stars have it lined for them. And Davante Adams agrees, said that all the pressure is on the Niners, the home team, on Sunday.
We all excited in here, man. This is a great opportunity. We understand what's in front of us. Nothing to lose, but a lot to lose. We, everything at the same time. But, the pressure's really on them. They went out there and they dominated us last game. And, we did not take care of business the way we should have. So it's only up from here as far as how we go about it. Terrible on third down. It just wasn't a good showing. So, we kind of bottled that up in that feeling. And, we're ready to convert that into, something great.
And they got smoked last time they played. Last week was also almost a near meltdown. That just shows you really how good Russell Wilson is, that he was able to drag that Seahawks team to contention throughout the year and get them to the divisional round of the playoff. And that's the reason why I believe that Russell Wilson should be the MVP. For as good as Lamar was, and I've been saying this for months now, this is not one of those things of recency bias. Lamar struggles, at least the Ravens struggle as a team on Saturday night against Tennessee. This is me looking at that Seahawks roster and seeing that he had to go to the playoffs with beast mode as his quarterback, as his running back rather, and Travis Homer, who was a practice squad guy at the beginning of the year, and he had them so close to winning at Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers. But again, you see how good Aaron Rodgers is. Aaron Rodgers throwing that third down pass to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams having a huge game with 2 touchdowns over 100 yards receiving on Sunday in the win against the Seahawks as they head to San Francisco to face off with the 49ers. And he talked about the pressure being on the Niners. The Niners are welcoming that pressure. Kyle Shanahan actually is putting that pressure on the Niners, saying that anything less than a Super Bowl title would be a disappointment.
I will say it because I felt this way as a fan my entire life. I felt this way as a coach. But I really believe there's only one team happy at the end of the year. You can be positive and stuff, but that gets you excited. But, I mean, no matter what happens, I mean, there's only going to be one team that's truly happy at the end of this year. And we've gotten to a point that we're excited about where we got, especially compared to these last 2 years. But we have one expectation now. So we're not going to sit back and enjoy what we've done, because now it's about what you're doing right now and where you're going.
And that should be the expectation after 2 years of building this and now getting in year three with him as a head coach and John Lynch as the GM. You're playing at home. You just beat Minnesota. I talked to Alex Boone, a former offensive lineman for the 49ers for a while and also with the Minnesota Vikings, now works up at an ESPN affiliate 1500, a score in Minneapolis. And he was saying he thought whoever won that game last Saturday was going to be the team that represented the NFC. And the 49ers won going away. They've already blown the Packers earlier this year. They've been arguably the best team in the NFL all season long. Anything short of a Super Bowl title, or at least a Super Bowl appearance, if we're just being more reasonable about it, should be a disappointment for Kyle Shanahan for the 49ers. I absolutely believe that. And Aaron Rodgers facing the 49ers' number one pass defense on Sunday, including the playoffs and throughout his career when facing number one pass defenses, Rodgers is 1-4. 0-4 on the road, 4 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions with a 72.2 passer rating. That is something to look out for as he faces off against one of the best defenses in the National Football League, one of the best teams all season long in the San Francisco 49ers as those teams face off for the NFC title. And before then, it will be the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs facing off at Arrowhead. And if I had to take a choice, I'd also go with Field Yates, what he said. I'm taking Chiefs and I'm taking the 49ers, and that would be an epic Super Bowl, having Pat Mahomes and that high-octane offense and Andy Reid trying to go get his first ever Super Bowl title, and then the young offensive, I mean, he's 40 years old, so he's not that young, but in terms of football coaches, young, but a lot of them are now younger than Kyle Shanahan is, which Kyle Shanahan, an offensive mind who a couple years ago with the Falcons up 28-3, his offensive game plan fell apart in the second half against the Patriots, and that's something he's had to live with every day since, trying to have a chance to have redemption. And against a great team in the Kansas City Chiefs, that would be an awesome Super Bowl full of great storylines, and also be a great Super Bowl because it would not include the New England Patriots. And we can thank the Tennessee Titans for that, as the Patriots are no longer in the playoffs, and we have these last four teams available coming up here on Championship Sunday. 844-477-3776, 844-GSPN, or you can text in at 71307 with the keyword ESPN. Julian Council here with you on ESPN Upstate. On the other side, going to wrap things up here on the show before handing it off to Mark Ryan on Offsides from 3 to 7. You listen to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate. Julian Council back here next 6 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. Wrapping up things here on a Thursday afternoon. Mark Ryan coming up next on Offsides from 3 to 7. He's back after being sick for the last couple of days. Something I didn't get to yesterday that I must bring up is what's going on at Missouri State with their football program. Like, Diesel, you and I, we had this conversation. Apparently, Missouri State, according to multiple sources and reports, are about to hire Bobby Petrino. And there was also a report from Football Scoop, who pretty much nails any college coaching search and hire in the coaching carousel, that they had reports that Art Briles, who's coaching high school football in Texas, was also expected and slated to become the next head coach for the Missouri State Bears, I believe, is their mascot. The Missouri State Bears, which is weird that, like, Petrino, Briles, You're an FCS program. You would think that you would want to hire a young coach, and I see as Ben Fredrickson, columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, had tweeted out yesterday saying it has to be disheartening for all the hardworking coaches hungry for their shot to see schools like Missouri State recycle a guy like Bobby Petrino. His track record is known and easy to find. Bears fans should push back. Your team and school is being mocked for good reason, which, yeah, but they're also in the headlines, and we're sitting here in Greenville, South Carolina, and throughout the upstate of South Carolina talking about it, but really, Petrino Bryles?
Small world, our program director is a Missouri State alum.
Oh, really?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so he cares. The folks there in Springfield, Missouri, and throughout the Ozarks care, and outside of that, most people are going to stop caring after this hire is made, but still, Bobby Petrino, he failed at the Falcons, left midseason. He was great at Arkansas, but then he had the whole motorcycle incident and the whole co-ed there. And at Louisville, first time around, he was good. That got him the Falcons job. And or I guess he was at Arkansas before then, whatever it was. I forget the timeline. And he goes back to Louisville, and the players basically hate him, and they quit on him last season. Then Scott Satterfield leaves your alma mater, App State, and goes back there and basically shows him, like, hey, guys, I care about you. Like, I'm your coach. You're my players. Like, we're all in this together. And what do you know? The Louisville players actually care and want to play hard and work hard for their coach again. Why would you want to bring that to your university? And it's not like he's this great offensive philosopher anymore, because if you looked at the offenses that he had at the end there at Louisville, they weren't that great. And Lamar Jackson made him look a lot better than he was. So it's really crazy to me that Art Briles and Bobby Petrino are being named potentially as the next head coach at Missouri State, and that in a situation here, Bobby Petrino comes out looking like the angel and like the preferred option when it comes to Art Briles and Bobby Petrino. But I guess that's FCS football. They got to do whatever to make a splash higher. I don't think it's going to do enough for them to win in the Missouri Valley or whatever conference they're in. Are you surprised by this?
But at least Art Briles has proven that he can coach football.
True. I mean, Petrino he got to the NFL.
Yeah, but his last job was an abject failure.
Yes, and I mean, it was a failure, definitely football-wise. Organizational-wise and just having any sort of integrity and human emotion and responsibility of the situation. Like, Art Briles completely ignored all that kind of stuff. Like, there's a reason you hear Love It's Art Show and Stugatz is always making the Art Briles, like, going to hell jokes. Because, like, what that guy allowed to happen and what they swept under the rug there at Baylor was something that should have him not even coaching. Like, I don't understand why. I do understand why he coaches high school football in Texas, because high school football in Texas is king. Football in Texas is religion. And at the end of the day, winning's the only thing that matters for a lot of people. It doesn't matter whether he's teaching these kids and these young men to be better people. It's just about, you know, can you run a route? Can you help us win football games? Because that's what we want. And Missouri State's going to make this hire of Bobby Petrino or Art Briles because they want to win. And they're getting guys who have been proven winners, even though at his last stop by Petrino did not prove to be the type of winner that we had seen in previous stops, first at Louisville, then at Arkansas, and, well, not really with the Atlanta Falcons. So interesting stuff going out there in Springfield, Missouri. Also, quick Panthers news going on as we have Field Yates on not too long ago. Apparently, the Panthers, who have an opening for their assistant GM / VP of football operations job, they've been trying to interview Philadelphia Eagles VP of football operations, Andrew Berry, for that position, but the Eagles have denied it, and they're continuing to try and get the request. But apparently the caveat will be that Andrew Berry, the only way he can interview for the job is if it allows him to have final say on the roster. Marty Herney, who's currently the GM of the Carolina Panthers, apparently still has a major role in the organization in terms of player personnel, and especially with college scouting. David Tepper has said he's one of the best college scouts out there, so that's why he's still there. But it will be interesting to see how things play out there. Also saw that Matt Rhule is interviewing ex-Giants coach Ben McAdoo to a staff position, along with ex-Chargers coach Mike McCoy, so that adds some NFL experience. And Al Holcomb, who was their running back coach, also will be a defensive run game coordinator. You're going to stay on with the Carolina Panthers. Before I head out here, I want to go ahead and give you guys a chance one last time for a $1,000 free cash dash on ESPN Upstate. The keyword this hour is hello, H-E-L-L-O. That's hello. Text to 72881. That's 72881. Hello to 72881 for a $1,000 free cash dash right here on ESPN Upstate. Been fun the last 2 days. Appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you chiming in on the text line and on the phone lines. And appreciate Diesel behind the board helping me out producing the show. This has been Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate. Enjoy your evening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.